Thank you, Jerry and Joe. We'll see you guys tomorrow as the Blue Jays will try to sweep away the Detroits. And this has just been an incredible time. Just amazing for these Toronto Blue Jays. 50-51 at one point, and now they sit 73-56, 23-5 over the last 28 games, and they have picked up 10 games in the American League East. They once trailed by 8. They now lead by 2. Phone lines are open. Let's talk about it. 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance. 1-888-666-0590. And I will say this, that the Twitter crowd has won me over today. I didn't like the throwing the hats on the field. I don't like when people have to stand around and wait while cleaning crews work to clean up a mess. But I have been convinced to go to the other side. So sure, the baseball hat trick can be a thing. When somebody hits 3 home runs, go ahead. A spontaneous outpouring of celebration is way better than a calculated system of dumminess. The stuff that we see with the paper airplanes and all of that stuff, this was different. This was unplanned. This was sheer exuberance and great enjoyment. So, yeah, go ahead. Next time somebody hits 3 home runs in a game, feel free to enjoy the baseball hat trick. 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell. Long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Got to tell you, there were a lot of people on Twitter who let me know how much they disagreed, and the block button got a pretty huge workout, because there are a lot of people on Twitter who are also pretty vulgar in the way they let people know that you disagree with them. We don't need to do that. But anyway, to the phones we go. Jay is in Toronto. Hey, Jay.
Hey, Mike. Thanks for taking my call.
Thanks for calling.
That was just an incredible game to watch. So much fun. And, yeah, I really thought the hats were... It was kind of like this great little moment that was emblematic of the whole season as it's going right now. So I really enjoyed that.
All right, cool.
One thing I wanted to ask you about was their schedule going forward, and what do you think the chances are, if they do well, that they could potentially clinch at home? Like, they've got 7 games after that last series with the Rays. I think it's the 27th or something. But... I think it would be really great, you know, after watching the game today, to see them clinch at home if it were at all possible. And I just wanted to get your thoughts on whether you think that could happen.
I think you're getting way ahead of yourself right now. The Blue Jays are up by 2 games in the AL East. And after tonight, it'll be 1.5 or it'll be 2.5. What you're asking is that the Blue Jays have an 8-game lead in the division after September 27th with 7 games to play. That is going to be, I mean, it's possible. It's highly unlikely, but it's possible. Remember, too, that, you know, after this Cleveland series, the Blue Jays play the rest of the season against the AL East, except for 3 games. So it's going to be really, really hard to pile drive through the entire division. And that's what you're going to have to do, because otherwise the teams are gaining games on you simply with a win. They can control that by beating you as opposed to hoping you lose so they can gain a game on you. I admire the exuberance. I really, really do.
What I hope we don't see, which has happened a little bit in the past couple of years with this new system, is that a team will clinch a playoff berth. A team like the Orioles, say, or the Jays, who have had this insane drought, they clinch a berth, but they don't celebrate because, obviously, you know, they want to win the division. That makes all the sense in the world. But I think it was the Orioles a few years ago. There was a team that, like, clinched a berth, didn't celebrate, and then the way the rest of the season turned out, they lost. They ended up never getting that window to celebrate because they, like, lost the rest of – do you know what I mean?
I do know what you mean. And I don't have a major issue with often when you clinch a playoff berth, the teams – well, first of all, any team that clinches a playoff berth early, right, is in first place. And they've clinched at least the wild card while they still have an X number of games lead in first place. So you shouldn't celebrate that. Like, if you got a 4.5-game lead and there are 10 games left, but you've clinched at least the wild card, I don't know that that's something that, teams are going to go out of their way to say, all right, and do the champagne and everything, and they'll be happy about it, but they got to clinch a division. You still have work to do. So I don't mind that at all. I think that, everyone's going to be beyond thrilled when, if and when, and probably when, the Blue Jays secure a spot in the playoffs for the first time since 1993. But if it's in that kind of weird situation where you have a division lead, but you haven't clinched a division yet, but you've clinched at least that you're going to get the second wild card, that's not something where you'll see the lockers being draped over with plastic and all that stuff and people pouring the beverage of their choice all over each other's heads. Because it's just a weird time for that to happen. Thank you. Appreciate the call. Blue Jays win it 15-1. Edwin Encarnacion ties a club record with 9 RBIs. He had a 2-run homer, a 3-run homer, and a grand slam, and was in the on-deck circle when the bottom of the 8th came to a close. Part of a 3-for-5 day with Edwin. And he also reached on an error by the right fielder Tyler Collins on a rocket to right center field that was off of Collins' glove as he raced at full speed into the gap. Could have been called a double. Yaz is in St. Mary's. Hey, Yaz.
Hey, Mike. Well, for me, I'm sorry for my exuberance, but I think this team has gone from a team to a juggernaut.
Well, there's no question that it's a juggernaut right now. Absolutely.
And I think the memory for me, outside of Edwin's fantastic day, was the guys on the bench having to explain to Edwin why everybody was throwing their hats on the field. It was so Canadian. I think Tulowitzki said it's a hockey thing. And it was joyous because everybody is feeling it.
It's an incredible atmosphere here. I didn't see Edwin in the dugout. I didn't see the reaction. I didn't see that byplay, obviously, but it doesn't surprise me. I mean, I imagine there are a lot of people who were wondering what was going on, but on this side of the border, it's pretty obvious, and that was something. I have to tell you, I've never seen anything like that before.
You know, and it's a lot better in Toronto to be throwing your hats on the field for a hat trick home run than your shirts, your jerseys.
Yeah, or waffles or stuff like that. Yeah,
and
we
I
don't need that.
Just as a last thing, I think Anthony Ghost trying to take out Tulowitzki was pretty bush league at 15-1. He wasn't even close to the bag.
He was probably far enough away that he couldn't have reached back and touched it, but that's silly anyway. Either you're going after a guy or you're not going after a guy. And clearly Anthony Ghost was sliding hard at Troy Tulowitzki. Tulowitzki took exception to it, yelled at him as he was running off the field, but Ghost didn't turn around and engage, which I guess that's a good thing. But Anthony Ghost pretty frustrated today. He had a terrible day in the field. That brain cramp that allowed the extra run to score on the sacrifice fly when he thought there were 3 outs, but they were 2. There were 2, and he just kind of carried the ball out into towards the track as Ryan Goen scored from second base. Missed 2 cutoff man yesterday. It's been a rough time for Anthony Ghost, but it shows you how much growing up he still has to do, that he has a rough day and he tries to make up for it by blowing up Troy Tulowitzki at second base in a 14-run game. Thanks for the call, Yaz. We will take more calls after the top of the hour. We'll continue our Blue Jays talk at 416-870-0590. Star 590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. Blue Jays 15 and the Tigers 1. It's the Honda Post Game Show on the Sportsnet Radio Network. Back here at Rogers Center, Blue Jays 15 and the Detroit Tigers 1. They outhit them 18-7. As the silliness continues, the Jays have won 7 out of 8, 23 out of 28, and now they're 2 games clear of the New York Yankees for first place in the AL East. The Yankees, of course, will be in Atlanta tonight to take on the Braves in a battle of rookies. It'll be Luis Severino against Matt Wisler. There are 2 games that are currently underway in the major leagues of baseball. The Boston Red Sox are at the New York Mets. The St. Louis Cardinals are at the San Francisco Giants. Both those games are 0-0 as they play in the 3rd inning. Later on as well, Houston is at Minnesota. The Texas Rangers are home to Baltimore. Texas holds that second wild card by a half game over the Twins, a game and a half over the Angels, who visit Cleveland tonight. The Blue Jays wrap up this series, and they will go for the sweep tomorrow afternoon. We'll be on the air at 12:30 p.m. Eastern Time. For a 107 first pitch, it'll be Mark Burley on the mound, trying to get his 200th win as an American leaguer. I don't know if that's significant or not, but it's a thing. Alfredo Simon on the hill for the Tigers. Please join us then. You've been listening to Home Hardware Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Home Hardware. Homeowners helping homeowners with expert advice. For Jerry Howarth, Joe Siddle, Tom Young, Derek Brandeo, Jason Leung, and Mark Boffo, I'm Mike Wilner. Jays Talk continues. Back here at Rogers Center, Blue Jays 15, Tigers 1. Edwin Encarnacion, 3 homers, 9 RBIs, ties the club record that has stood since 1977 when Roy Howell drove in 9 against the Yankees. And Ron Guidry, who went on to win the Cy Young Award that year, the Yankees went on to win the World Series that year, and that was a huge moment for this upstart expansion team taking down the big, bad New York Yankees. The kids are running the bases. A fun day here at Rogers Center. The Blue Jays right now 2 games clear of those big, bad Yankees in the American League East, pending, of course, the outcome of tonight's Yankee game in Atlanta that starts in just over 2 hours. I'm Mike Wilner. This is Sportsnet tonight. Roger Lajoie is supposed to be hosting, but Roger Lajoie was the official scorer at this game, and the game ended just about 25 minutes ago. So Roger is on his way back to the radio station now, I assume. He might still be here, actually, because official scorers, once the game is over, still have to do a good old-fashioned mathematical proof before they're allowed to hand in their score sheets and leave. So he might still be here. Probably not. He's probably on his way back to the radio station, and when he gets back, we will hand the reins to him. But until he does, I'll keep things right here, and we will continue our Blue Jays talk at 416-870-0590, star 590 on the cell, long distance, 1-888-666-0590. Let's go out to Victor in Milton. Hey, Victor.
What's up, Mike?
How you doing?
Not too bad. You know what? I probably wouldn't refer to the Yankees as big and bad. I think that's to be reserved for the Jays. I call them pesky. They just won't go away. But nonetheless, this is just, you say ridiculous, I say remarkable, but it's almost magical. It's almost like perhaps there's another contract that Alex signed, and maybe one with the devil. Because this is just odd. I've never seen anything like this, and I've been, you know, depriving myself of enjoying this because I keep thinking, you know, we've had a lot of misfortune as a franchise, some good ones too. And I'm thinking, with all this great fortune, what's at the end of it? I mean, it would be storybook if we just continue to annihilate the opposition and win the World Series. But something tells me there's going to be some downtime coming up. But the one thing I'm buoyed by is that we have a lot of guys that have been in the playoffs before. And I think, not that we're slump-proof, but I think we should probably get through it because I think Alex, he did something that he hadn't done before. He went out and got guys that have been there before. And I think that's going to help us. And
we just lose you in the middle of a sentence? I think we just lost you. Yeah, we lost your phone. Sorry, Victor, the phone's cutting out. Look, you wouldn't be a Toronto sports fan if you didn't think that the light at the end of the tunnel was a train coming right at you and weren't worried about this thing all falling apart. And look, the truth of the matter is the Blue Jays may not win the World Series. And in fact, there's a good chance that the Blue Jays don't win the World Series because no matter how good you are, the playoffs are such a crapshoot. And if you run into a team that's just hot for a week, then you're done in a best of five or even in a best of seven. So I think sometimes the journey can be more enjoyable than the destination. And, of course, if the Blue Jays don't win the World Series, We all assume they're going to make the playoffs. It's very, very difficult to foresee a scenario in which the Blue Jays do not even make the playoffs. I mean, for that to happen, they would have to fall all the way back behind the team that's holding the second wild card, and they've got a 6.5-game bulge right now on the Minnesota Twins, 7.5 on the Angels, 9.5 on the Orioles. So the likelihood that they're going to miss the playoffs is minute. It still exists, obviously, but it's minute. But the thing is, once you get in there, 3 out of 5, you know, and even if you go, even if you've got David Price and you've got this amazing offense, this team can be shut down over 3 games, because any team ever in the history of anything has been able to be shut down over 3 games. And if you're unlucky enough to have that happen at the wrong time, you're done. And a lot of people are going to be very upset and very disappointed, which is kind of why I've been so much into the enjoy the now, enjoy the journey. Don't worry so much about the destination. If it happens, it will be fantastic. If it doesn't happen, this has still been a fantastic run for a team that's going to erase 22 years of playoff futility. But try not to get ahead of yourselves, and try to really enjoy. And that's all you can do, because no one knows what's going to happen around the corner, no matter how good the feeling is. Your calls continue. It's Blue Jays Talk, but before we get to the next call, I want to hear from the manager, John Gibbons. Here's what he had to say in the wake of today's 15-1 annihilation of the Detroit Tigers.
Couldn't drive in a run in the ninth and give Eddie a chance to hit a solo shot.
Next.
Is that one of the greatest days you've seen as far as an individual performance in a ball game?
Yeah, you know, I don't think it can get any better. I mean, I was here, I was coaching first base when Delgado hit 4 in 1 game. I don't know how many RBIs he had, but, you know, Eddie might have done it with that extra bat. You know, he's some kind of locked in. You know, you can go back to even last May when he had that record-setting month. You know, he gets it going. I mean, there's nobody better, nobody more dangerous, and he's smoking right now.
John, your team right now is they're just not winning games. You're just crushing people. Are you amazed by when you see how many runs you're piling up lately?
Yeah, Rutz, yeah. You know, when I look back, you know, the 5 months we've already played, you know, to score as many runs as we've had and had the big innings like we've had at this level, it really, I mean, it surprised the hell out of me, to be honest with you. It doesn't happen that often up here at this level, and we've done it so many times. And I can't say you start expecting it, but, you know, I mean, really all it does is, you know, you feel like you're really never out of a game unless it's really lopsided. But that's just, you know, really it's just a product of a lineup full of good hitters, you know, and some guys that, you know, making their name in the league, you know, the Pilars, Goins, and, you know, Travis when he was here, and I don't want to leave anybody out. I'm sure I will. But, you know, being big contributors as well. You know, the guys up top in the middle, I mean, they've been around the game. They've been producing in the game. So it's a long lineup.
John, can you offer a general comment on Hutchison, but especially about that third inning, the sun-aided single that could have gotten away from him, and he really managed to lock it down?
Yeah, it was good to have Hutch back, and, you know, he continues his winning ways. Yeah, I thought he was really good today. Early on, I mean, he was throwing strikes all day. Early on, I think he was kind of scattering it in the strike zone. And then, you know, probably in the middle innings, he started dialing up, and where he starts, you know, hitting his corners like we've seen many times when he really, you know, when he really gets on a nice little roll. So, yeah, but it's good to have him back. You know, he gave us a good, long, strong out. You know, that ball, you know, that sun ball, we've seen that a few times this year on both sides. You know, it's a wicked sun out there. But, yeah, I mean, he managed the inning. You know, they get one, and it was almost a double play anyway. But, you know, sometimes those things happen, and it can snowball on you. But he competes.
With Hutch, I mean, he had a good run like this at the end of last year, too. This is 3 outings in a row now that he's looked really good. Do you think he's maybe just starting to put everything together?
Yeah, I think so. You know, I've be honest, I've seen him, you know, my 2 years with him, I've seen nothing but good, really. I mean, he's like anybody else. They have their struggles. They're not good every time they go out there. But the kid's got that knack, you know. He's I've said many times, he's a great competitor. I mean, he's still a young guy. He's still figuring it out. I mean, he's only going to get better. And that, you know, that can take you a long way.
What did you think of the hats showering on the field with all the hockey analogies with the hat trick?
Well, I hadn't seen it before, you know. Don't they normally throw octopuses or something? Well, at first I thought it was just a couple of idiots throwing their hats, you know. And then when everybody came down, I don't know, somebody said, you know, it's for the hat trick. Maybe it was Pete Walker. And then changed my judgment. I don't know. Probably not. I don't.
See, there you go. John Gibbons thinking right along with me. I thought it was a few idiots, too, at the beginning. And then it turned into a very, very interesting thing. Again, I hope it doesn't become a tradition where people just start throwing their hats if anything happens three times, like somebody drives in three runs or something like that. That's what I worry about. But this was some just an incredible spontaneous outpouring of celebration of just this city is over the moon with this team and the grand slam after he'd already hit two home runs, and just an incredible moment for Edwin Encarnacion and a great moment for the Blue Jays as well as they go on to defeat the Detroit Tigers 15-1. And again, I can't say it often enough, they've won 7 of 8, they've won 23 out of 28. This kind of thing just doesn't happen, and that's what's happening here in Toronto with the Blue Jays. Now, two games clear of the New York Yankees in a division that they trailed by 8 a month ago. I'm Mike Wilner. We're Blue Jays talking it up, extendo style, until Roger Lajoie makes it back from the ballpark to take over hosting duties of Sportsnet tonight. So let's get back to the phones. Eddie in Fort Erie, go ahead.
Well, Mike, I have a couple of things I wanted to say. First of all, that was one heck of a game that the Blue Jays played. I mean, Edwin was teeing off like we know that he does, and oh man, that was something else. You know what? I wish August was done, because I'm looking forward to September, because I'm going to be at one of the games, and it's going to be amazing. I can't wait.
Well, we got two more games to get through before August is done, and if the Blue Jays win them both, they'll set a new club record. So let's enjoy each day as it comes. The worst thing you want to do is skip over a week waiting for the next one.
And that's the thing that I look forward to this Jays team as well. I mean, you just never know what's going to happen next. I mean, are we going to see three home runs? Are we going to see 20 strikeouts? I know I'm throwing it out there, but it's like stuff like that can happen, you know. So I'm very excited to see what's going to happen tomorrow. Now, the second thing I wanted to say was about Anthony Gose's brain cramp when he caught the ball and thought there were three outs. This is not the first time that he's done this. I mean, I don't know if you remember, but when he was in Buffalo, he did, like, something similar to that, but instead of catching the ball, he's trying to, like, throw it, and he forgot that there was another runner there, and he kind of, like, jogged a little bit and didn't even care about throwing it into second base, and then that runner scored. And that's something that you can't do, especially at the major league level, or let alone the minor league level, too, because you have to develop yourself, and you would have thought that he would have learned that by now, but he hasn't, you know?
You would have thought. Yesterday he missed two cutoff men, and today he forgot how many outs there were. And look, Anthony Gose, and I said it on the air when we were discussing what was going on, Anthony Gose is a raw, young baseball player, and it's completely up to him, Joe Siddle said, and he's right, completely up to him how far he's going to go in this game. He's got all the talent in the world. He could be a great center fielder for a lot of years, could be a 100 stolen base guy, could win multiple gold gloves. It's completely up to him. If he wants to put in the work necessary, put in the mental effort necessary, focus, stay in the game at all times, then he could be great. If he doesn't, he won't.
Yeah, I agree. Thanks a lot, Mike.
All right, thanks, Eddie. It really is as simple as that when you're that talented. I mean, to be in the major leagues at Anthony Gose's age, to have been in the major leagues as a 21, 22-year-old, when you're still developing as a player because you're such a phenomenal athlete and so good at baseball, that speaks volumes for how good Anthony Gose can be. But until it shapes up between the ears, you're not going to see Anthony Gose reach his potential. Derek's in Chatham. Hey, Derek.
How are you?
I'm all right.
Oh, boy. Pardon me. Clear my throat. I envy you and the job you have to do. You're a cheerleader for the Jays, and they're just wonderful. It's a great team. Phenomenal. I've got a... I think that they may not be able to make the playoffs because they're going to be asked to join the NFL. Pardon me. They're not going to be allowed to play in Major League Baseball anymore. They're just hitting too hard. Amazing team.
There's no other league to send them to.
Pardon me?
There's no other league to send them to.
I know that. I'm just making, I'm making a comment that they are phenomenal.
They are.
Phenomenal. It's this is probably the best team. It may be the best team for quite a while historically. I know it sounds silly to say it, but it just may be. We'll have to find out as it goes on. But Mike, you know what? I wanted to ask you something. Would you consider having a word with me off air? Because I would like to pass something on. I don't want other teams to hear.
Do me a favor and pass it on to Mark Boffo, our fine producer, and he'll pass it on to me. Honestly, and I appreciate you wanting to do that, but honestly, if everyone who wanted to have a minute off the air, if I was to do that, I would never have any minutes when I wasn't working. So I'll ask you to give that top secret, super secret information to Mark Boffo. He'll pass it along to me, and we'll find out your theory that you don't want any other teams to hear. And I'm hoping it's a good one. 416-870-0590, *590 on the cell. Long distance is 1-888-666-0590. Well, let's go out to Bruce in Kitchener. Hey, Bruce.
Hey, Mike. You know, just what an incredible state of insanity this team has become just because of the surprise factor of what's been happening. And you know, as you listen to your callers, and I'm going to put yourself, and I guess you're trying to just kind of be centering or righting the ship kind of thing. Like, don't get too far carried away. But it almost sounds like the city of Toronto, a lot of fans, and it's actually something that's across the country, that we're almost afraid of enjoying this time too much in thinking that what you said earlier, that train at the end of the tunnel, or that light at the end of the tunnel, is a freaking train. And it's not going to be a rescue ship by any means. That something bad has to happen. And
but that's what we're sensitized to in Toronto, right? That's what we've been led to expect over the last 20 years in all sports here. I mean, even remember the two conference championship teams, the Maple Leafs, the two teams that got to the semifinals in 1999 and in 2000. I think in one of those years, the year they played Carolina, Matt Sundin was hurt. Matt Sundin came back, and everybody got so excited, and then they lost the series, even though they had just gotten their best player back. So I think that's what people are used to, and that's one of the reasons why they don't want to get too excited. And then they feel like if they let themselves get too excited and then they don't win, then what happens?
Exactly. So, but you mentioned something about taking it day-to-day and enjoy the now. And it seems as though that's exactly what this team is doing. They are not projecting down the road. They're just dealing with this game right now. Whatever happens in it, be it good or bad, if it's good, you celebrate it. If it's bad, okay, this is what we don't do for the next game, then to carry on. I don't believe that they've lost more than two games in a row in quite some time. And they just pick up the ball and run with it on the next game. Players like Edwin Day, you know, a phenomenal game, and Ben with that catch where he ran to the fence and it looked like he jarred his elbow somewhat. Plays like that are what makes this team just so incredible, and what makes it kind of so unbelievable is that nobody anticipated that AA was going to do the trades that he did in the acquisitions. Nobody thought of those things happening, that it wasn't going to be, and you could say that it was almost bombastic in what he achieved to do. And that's where the uproar, all this stuff really generated. And this team is just going with it. Like, hats off to, no pun intended with the hats going off, but hats off to every individual on that team for making it the team effort. And I got to say that, you know, the sign of a really good team is not just the winnings of, you know, 15-1 and 10-0 and stuff like that, but it's when you get into trouble and how you deal with it. Like when Drew got jammed up with getting some men on, how he gets out of that, how Burley gets out of his predicaments when its base is loaded. These guys find ways to do almost the impossible, and they get themselves out of it. They manage to bury themselves more than knee-high, and it's like they know what they got to do, and they settle themselves down. And it's just so nice to see. I wanted to switch over to the Mike Wilner School of Baseball for a second, and that is in the seventh inning, I think it was, on the third pitch, McCann got a walk to first base because Martin lost the ball. Two things about that. Is that's something that I am not aware of, maybe a lot of people aren't, but is that the instance that occurs on the out pitch if the catcher loses the ball that the batter automatically goes to first? And secondly, is it the umpire's duty to say go, or is that something that the player should know whether or not they are allowed to do that based on the knowledge that the baseball player has of the game? Thanks, Mike.
All right, thanks for the call. Yes, if a catcher does not catch the third strike and first base is open with less than two outs, the batter is allowed to try to run to first base to get to first base. If there are two outs, it doesn't matter whether first base is occupied or not. He's allowed to run. And no, it is certainly not up to the umpire to tell the guy what he's supposed to do. That would sort of be akin to when a guy swings and hits the ball, the umpire telling the batter to run. They got to know that stuff. But, yeah, you have to catch the third strike unless there's a man on first with less than two out in order to have a strikeout completed. It is Extendo Blue Jays talk on Sportsnet tonight. Let's go to Mark in Toronto. Hey, Mark.
How are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Good. Well, I'm as excited as anybody. This is totally unbelievable. I heard a really interesting stat. Jays are the first team since the early 50s to go on two 11-game winning streaks. Is that correct?
I think so. No. I think the Indians in 54 had two 11. I think there have been five teams that have had two, or maybe that was 10 or more. I'm not sure if it's 10 or more or 11 or more. This may be the first team to go on two 11 or more win streaks.
Regardless, it's a pretty awesomely exciting thing to do amongst the constant highlight reel plays in the field. But there's a guy, Alex Anthopoulos, I think is being totally overlooked in this whole situation. We were ready to hang him at the beginning of this year through the first half and right through the end of last year because the pitchers he brought in 2.5 years ago didn't play the way that we all expect. He was walking on water when he made those trades 2.5 years ago. Then the players don't perform the way they were expected to, which was a surprise to everybody in the world. And we're ready to kick him out as fast as we can. And then he pulls off these trades. I think this guy should be manager of the executive of the year, no question. And I think a lot of people in the city should sort of give their heads a shake about how quickly we turn on someone who makes an awesome trade or set of trades that don't work out the way we expect them to. So I'm just singing his props, I guess.
Look, it's sports, right? And in sports, if you're an executive, or even if you're a coach or a manager, you have to be process over results, right? But fans will never be process over results, and nor should they be. They're looking for a team to win, period. And that's all they care about, and that's all they should care about. It doesn't matter whether you did the right things and it didn't work out, or whether you did the wrong things and it did work out. Either you win or you don't. And that's why so many people have called into this show over the years talking about Alex Anthopoulos, the Blue Jays' one-loss record under Alex Anthopoulos, as though that actually has something to do with Alex Anthopoulos. He brings the players in, and then the players have to perform. And the short-sightedness of stuff like that, I mean, the fact is, in the first 3 years, half of his tenure, Alex Anthopoulos, the Blue Jays were actively not trying to win, trying to rebuild, and he did a phenomenal job rebuilding this team to the point where he had 11 minor league pitchers that he could trade in making these deals at the trade deadline to bring in David Price and Troy Tulowitzki and Ben Revere and Mark Lowe and all these guys. And for people to not recognize that just boggles my mind. The fact is, your record is your record, and no fan wants to hear the reasons behind a record. All they want to know is, did you win or did you not win, whether it's your fault or not. And when you go on and say, well, it wasn't their fault, this is what happened, they say it doesn't matter. That's what happens in sports. If you don't win, you lose your job. And, you know, for the last few years, because I've always been a staunch supporter of Alex Anthopoulos, I think he does a fantastic job. And I think he has since day one. You don't want to lose good people because you're too short-sighted to try to understand why things happen the way they happen. And you just want to take the easy way out and blame the coach or the manager or the GM. So I don't think that's ever going to change in fandom. And I think that if the Blue Jays go out early in the playoffs this year and are like 15-25 in the middle of May next year, people are going to be calling for the firing of Alex Anthopoulos if he comes back, the firing of John Gibbons as well. That kind of stuff is never going to change. But it is nice to see that at least for now, people are coming around. I think, honestly, that Alex Anthopoulos should be the next president of the Toronto Blue Jays. I think that you go to the Dodgers model, you go to the Cubs model, where you have Andrew Friedman running the show in L.A. with Farhan Zaidi as his general manager. You have Theo Epstein running the show in Chicago with Jed Hoyer as his general manager. I think that model would work really, really well here with Alex as president of baseball operations and Tony LaCava as his general manager and Andrew Tinnish still in there and Perry Manassian and Charlie Wilson and all these guys. It's a great baseball department, and the fruits of what it has tried to do over the last 5-6 years are paying off right now with all those kids available for the trades for Price and Tulowitzki and Revere and Lowe. And you shouldn't want to break this thing up. And I don't think you should want to bring somebody else in to oversee it who's might change the direction. I really think things are looking pretty good the way they're set up right now in the Blue Jays front office. We'll take a couple more calls in a minute, but first, Barry Davis got Ben Revere at the end of the game. Revere, don't lose this, in the 15-1. Ben Revere went 4-for-5 today. Ben Revere's hitting over .500 over the course of his 9-game win streak. Here's Revere's conversation with Barry.
Normally, Ben, when a guy goes 4-for-5 and makes a terrific catch, you are undoubtedly the star of the game. Now, I imagine today you have no problems taking a bit of a side seat after what you witnessed today. Where does that rank for you and what you've seen, even as a fan of baseball?
You know, this is, like I said, a good team victory. You know what I mean? It was a lot of fun. You know, we came out swinging early, especially Eddie. I mean, good God. I know he's a great player, but he put on the show today. But, no, it was everybody doing lineup. You know, they were just on point. You know, getting guys over, getting them in, and the pitcher came through. Hutchinson did an excellent job, but it's, well, I say, a great team victory today.
When Eddie came up and he already had the 2-run and the 3-run shot, were you guys aware that, you know, he's a grand slam away from almost hitting the home run cycle?
Well, I tried to get up there. I was hoping he'd get up there one more time, but I was calling it. I'm like, I was kind of right before he hit it. I was like, no, he may go deep right here. And then fortunately he did, but it's one of those deals that, you know, baseball, you never know what's going to happen. You never know, especially on this team, you never know which guy's going to have a great game. But, you know, it was fun watching that today.
I mean, you had a great game yourself, four hits, and the catch was fantastic. I know it hurt your elbow a little bit, but I imagine that's pain that you can deal with. Tell me about that play.
Oh, no. Left field is probably a hard position to play in the outfield. And, you know, Victor, with his swing, he sliced some balls, and that ball was slicing a lot. So it kind of got me turned around. But I'm in the back in the football days where you get sidelined by a defender. That would happen right there. I kind of called it that I had a couple of spaces to slow down. Now I was right on the fence. I just drilled that chain link fence, and it got hurt. But, you know, it kind of went away after a while. So it was something that, you know, just defense that wins games, and that was a big play for us.
Ben, I know you played in a hockey town in Philadelphia. So did you get the idea when the hats all came on the field?
Yeah. I was thinking. I'm like, I want to go up there one more time because – if you hit number four, I wonder what they were going to do. Because, like, I'm like, I don't know. What does hockey do? They, like, did someone score four goals? Do they, what, they do octopus or something out there? Or what?
In Detroit, they do.
In Detroit, I don't know what they do. But I wanted to see what these hockey fans would do if you hit four. So, but, you know, I got the trick. I play NHL hockey. Yeah. I was on tail in that game, video game. So anybody wants to play me, let's do it.
There you go.
PS4.
Challenges on from Ben Revere.
Just, no, email me what you want to do, man. It's just Twitter me, give me your name, PS4, we're going down all day.
Challenges on Ben Revere. He has offered a challenge to any of you wanting to play PS3 hockey. He had four hits, made a great catch, but Edwin Encarnacion was the star of this game.
How about that? Ben Revere with Barry Davison issuing a challenge to Blue Jays fans if they want to take him on in PS4. NHL hockey. Go do it. Why not? Go do it. Find him on Twitter. I believe he's at BenRevere9 on Twitter. And he's already, I think, accepted a couple of challenges. It's at BenRevere9 on Twitter on Play NHL 2015 with him on his PS4. That's going to do it for our Extendo Blue Jays talk. Thanks for sticking around with me. We will be back tomorrow, 12:30 p.m. Eastern, for a 107 first pitch. It will be Mark Burley, and it will be Alfredo Simon, as for the first time, the Detroit Tigers will not be throwing a rookie at the Blue Jays. What a day today, 15-1, Blue Jays over the Tigers. Edwin Encarnacion with three homers and a Blue Jays club record tying 9 runs batted in. Hasn't been done since 1977. Roger Lajoie is in the building, and he will take over on Sportsnet tonight. It's Sportsnet 590, The Fan.